You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's the interest. I've got to get a better whale video, but that's what we had when we just got started back again after 2019.
I love
it. Welcome, Colleen. Tell everybody, Colleen Spurlock, tell everybody about you because I can't do it service. What do you do in Costa Rica? How long have you been in Costa Rica?
I've been in Costa Rica full time for 10 years now.
Okay, and who is your husband?
Because Reiner Araya is my husband. He is a naturalist, and he's an ornithologist, and just an all-around jungle guy.
He's the bird guy from the most amazing bird guy in this country of the Costa Rica.
He's incredible. He is incredible. He started at OTS, which is the Organization for Tropical Studies in Sarapiquí, and then he came for a research project like 25 years ago now in OSA, and then he never left.
I know. And that's, I met him through Mike Boston. All the great people that I met in my life were through our sweet friend Mike. So tell everybody about what you're doing and then what you two guys are doing together.
All right. So I have an academic background. I'm a biologist. My undergrad was in biology and biotechnology from University of Kentucky. And then I went to University of California in Davis for a master's and PhD in horticulture and agronomy. But really, I'm a plant geneticist. So I did my research in redwood trees in Northern California. And I met Reiner when I was doing a gap year between undergrad and graduate. I went to OSA for a Spanish program. And I met Reiner on the beach at Playa Preciosa. And
of course, that's why it's so preciosa.
So then, you know, we like stayed in contact. We're like, we can't do this long distance thing. Back then, the video stuff was not as good. I mean, this was in 2008.
Right.
And so the video things weren't as good. It's like Skype was terrible. The Wi-Fi was just coming to OSA. Reiner had to go
still
to
not that great sometimes.
Still not that great. But he had to go to like internet cafes to like call me sometimes, or like even to send emails whenever there was like no Wi-Fi for weeks there. So I was just like, I don't know. I don't think I can do this. We dated for like a year and then we broke up. And then when I was starting my PhD, we got back together in 2012 and then it stuck.
I'm going to tell one funny story here. I was doing my radio show in the internet cafe on LA Talk Radio. And one time it was too noisy. Do you know where I went to do my show? And Sam does not know this. I'm sorry, Sam. It's too funny not to tell.
Where?
They had that one little bathroom, you know, they had there. I went into the bathroom, sat on the toilet. It wasn't video then, and did my radio show in the toilet. In
so they say that there's great acoustics in the bathroom.
It was fabulous.
I fell in love with OSA in several ways, right? I fell in love with Reiner, but I also fell in love with the place, because how can you not? I mean, as a biologist, it is the Mecca, right? I mean, you can't go to that place and not be just so amazed and just like blown away every single day. Still every single day, 10 years later, I see something new. I learn something new. The forest is like the greatest classroom ever. So then I finished my PhD, and then Reiner and I were like, well, I had a good job offer in Northern California to continue this research that I was doing on tree growth. We were learning about the genetics of height of trees in general, and then studying the largest trees in the world to do that. the redwood trees, the coast redwoods, not the sequoias.
Right.
So then, you know, we were like, well, Reiner had just, you know, he had just bought the land by behind Cacao Monkeys. And right. and we were like, kind of like on this, like, what should we do? Should we go continue halftime in the States? And then I was like, you know what? No, I'm all in. We're going to do full time in Costa Rica. So then we started an education center called OSA Interactive Gardens there. And then I could continue, you know, with my passion of teaching, and he could continue with his passion of the birds. And he's also an incredible botanist. I mean, like, blow your mind with the plant identification. And then our neighbor was Reynaldo Aguilar, which is like another, you
did
know,
you know, I've known that guy, because he at one point he was between Mogos and Rincon.
He has he has the Empanadas.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, him. He has Los Charcos, it's called. Oh man, yes. That property is, I mean, and you know, that property started out as palm oil, and you know, right. it was a monoculture, and he has brought that forest back, like, oh my gosh, it's so diverse now. He's just, me too. And so, like, to have him as a neighbor and to be able to work with him, you know, he's discovered 10 new species to science.
Yes.
That he got to name because they were just his. And then he's worked on many, many others. But, like, you know, he has 10 that are, like, his, you know, his discoveries. So to be able to work with some of these world-class biologists in the field, just can't beat it, you know. So then we started the OSA Interactive Gardens, and we would bring school groups, and we did the OSA Biological Academy with another foundation called O2 for Life Rainforest Foundation.
I know them.
And they're in Mogos too.
Yes.
You know, you guys are neighbors. Yes. Uh-huh. So they have 300 hex in Mogos, and like between them and the Swarovski property, right. It connects, it's a biological corridor that connects the two national parks, which is so, like, was this the dream.
This is what you don't know. My property line is on all of 437 acres, so we'll say it in acres. And then I have another property next to that is the Sierpe Wetland National Forest.
Cool.
And amazing. That's cool. And that's, we're just totally conservation.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's like the place for the wildlife to be able to be safe and have their habitat and be able to pass through from one of the parks and the other, like, protecting lands to others, you know? Because what happens when the national parks are completely isolated from each other and the wildlife can't get through? I mean, it's just that there was a missing piece in that, like, planning of those national parks, to think that they didn't need some.
They could get to Piedras Blancas and pass, and also to the corridor for the jaguars to South America.
Exactly.
Panama and South. We have lots of jaguars. You can hear them at night. A funny story, my cousins came, they knock on my door at night, and they said, what's that sound? And I said, it's just a jaguar in the mountain. You know how they do that in the night to call early morning?
I do not like
They're
to hear that.
They're freaking out. I had to go with them with a flashlight for 4 days every time somebody had to pee. Poor city girls.
It's like, no, they've got plenty of prey.
They're not coming after you. They're calling somebody.
They've got, you know, tapascuentes, aguris, besotes for all out, you know?
Do you want to play your video that you sent me right now?
Sure.
Let's play that. And so people get an idea, because we're all talking about the animals and the birds and this and that, but what you're doing, this was a great, great video that y'all produced.
Thanks. It was done by Ben Blankenship. I don't know if you know him.
I know Ben.
Yeah, yes. He did it.
You know what? Okay. So it was his birthday at Maria's. Were you there?
Yeah.
Well, it was the day of also Mike Boston's funeral.
I remember this day.
And so I didn't want to go anywhere after that. And you know, and all the guys had some shots of Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
So I had some of those, and Maria's like, you can't go home now. This can't happen. So I went, and I stuck my finger in his birthday cake and licked it off my finger. Maria's got a photo of it. I was horrified.
Oh my gosh.
So,
hey.
But Ben Blankenship is a world-class photographer. That guy has been, I mean, I follow his art. I mean, we still laugh about that, but I said, I did not do that. He goes, you did. Meet Angel Garcia.
How are you?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Oh, I've heard a lot about you already, Colleen. All good.
All right. All yeah. Good. I was like, we've been to some parties with Jana.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Sometimes you just have to tell the funny stories. I mean, we lost our best friend, you know, somebody who did so much for the OSA, and everybody I know in the beginning of my time with the radio in Costa Rica, it was always, introducing me to your husband, to everybody that I know that was just amazing. You know, it was him, and miss that guy.
Absolutely.
So we told a really funny story, and we're not going to repeat this, but I'll tell you, you know, after the show. Did I send you her video, the video about what they do?
You did. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's play great. The world right now. Can we do that right now, Colleen? And we'll be back, and we'll have, and he's going to have a bunch of questions.
No, absolutely.
OSA Biological Academy is a school in the rural town of Puerto Jimenez in the OSA Peninsula of Costa Rica.
OSA Peninsula is a special place. It's a hot spot in terms of conservation, biodiversity. It hosts 2.5% of the world biodiversity. It is a place that deserves worldwide attention.
OSA es un lugar muy especial porque es una península. Es una de las partes más viejas del país, geológicamente, más que es el puente entre los dos continentes, Sudamérica y Norteamérica, hace que es un lugar sumamente especial con respecto a la diversidad. En el 1991 llego a OSA la primera vez para colectar plantas y hasta hoy día sigo colectando plantas.
I would define conservation through education as a way of addressing the social side of conservation.
Esos cursos son como fundamentales para empezar a entender la biología de la OSA.
When you're taking the courses here, you're not learning from books or learning from pictures. You're learning from the species. You're handling the species, the plants, the insects, the frogs. This is how you get a proper training, and this is what will show a difference on your knowledge, I think.
The OSA Biological Academy offers 3 certificate programs from level 1 to level 3. The level 1 classes are in the classroom with presentations and around the OSA Interactive Gardens campus. Level 2 are field courses all over the OSA Peninsula, and level 3 are advanced courses that are a combination of field and lecture.
Como parte de la academia, hacemos giras de campo, ¿verdad? A la finca de la Fundación Oxígeno para la Vida, y también vamos a otro lugar que es Camino de Raque, que se llama Los Charcos de Osa. Yo ahí he generado una colección de árboles para que la gente pueda verlos.
By learning our local ecosystem, the ecotourism industry opens up for us.
Ellos saben que es un futuro muy interesante. Muchas de las personas ahora viven de ser guías en la Osa. Entonces han pasado de una cultura tal vez de cazadores o otros sacando oro, y ahora viene una posibilidad de aprender.
Before ecotourism was established here, the main economical activities in the OSA Peninsula were highly impactful for the local ecosystem, such as gold mining, huge extensions of cattle, rice farms, and African palm oil. And none of the above are friendly for the ecosystem.
Ahora es mantener el bosque y usar el bosque diferente. Vamos a ir no a cazar, no a cortar árboles, vamos a ir a enseñar qué está, dónde están las especies, dónde están los árboles, dónde están los animales. Entonces, el turismo ha tenido un impacto social muy importante.
With giving more ecotourism education, the beneficiaries can be more of the local people.
The local communities are not receiving the best of the benefits from the ecotourism industry because of a simple education aspect.
Yo creo que el botánico del futuro es alguien que puede tener una hoja o parte de una hoja y sabe cómo se llama.
Our main asset right now is the environmental asset, and we have it. We are in the most diverse place, one of the most biodiverse places on this planet. So we need to learn what we have. We need to learn the species. We need to learn to use it. We need to be able to jump in the ecotourism industry as soon as possible.
I love what you're doing, Colleen and Rainer. I love this.
That is incredible.
Here in the beginning, when we first started, they called it rural tourism, but it's also tourism. You know, on that first event, and I don't know what, maybe 2012 somewhere when everybody went down, you know, with Cruza and Osa, was it Amigos de Osa? And then they had but then it was over and nobody's teaching these kids. And it is telling, I know how important it is. Go ahead and ask how important is it that these kids have this education? They don't want to go back to the city. They don't want to go to the city to have to make, they love the Osa. And we do have Mauricio Gutierrez who is teaching those children in the schools to love where they come from and to protect it. Oh, Colleen.
That's right. I mean, you can't care about things you don't know about, right? So the first thing is to recognize the things that are around you. There's this phenomenon called plant blindness, right? Where people just don't pay attention to the plants. And you just maybe pass the same plants every single day of your life and you never really even know what they are or anything about them. Normal.
Because there's so many too.
Well, maybe you're not interested in it, right? Yeah. But the moment that you put a name to that plant, the moment that you understand like that it's important for this monkey or it's important for this bird, that cavity nests inside of it, or that, you know, you have to rake up that it actually is deciduous and the leaves fall at this time of year and then they make a mess in your, you know, on your trails, you start paying attention and then you get curious. But if you have like a little bit of education about it, you immediately start caring about it and then recognizing it and seeing it in a new way that you never looked at it before. And that's like the very beginning. You can't care about something that you don't know about, which is like, you know, the basis behind why zoos are important. Zoos make people have this connection. Like, I mean, I'm not, obviously Osa is like an open zoo, and I'm thinking about like a zoo in New Jersey where my parents are, that people go there and then they can feel connected to nature. And that's like this like pathway to caring about nature and then maybe later becoming involved.
Later on in life, and when I was on radio with Captain Paul Watson, no whales in captivity and all that. But then I remembered this when my son was like 8 years old and I took him to this Sea World, whatever, in San Antonio, and he fell in love with whales. And then he ended up going to Universidad Veritas and took marine biology, tropical ecology, and all these things. And he, do you understand that connects, that early connection? But also, you don't have to, you just come down there, you'll get it fast.
Exactly. I mean, and the kids have like, you know, they know where the best mangoes are. They know when the momochinos are there. You know, like there's like this already, this ingrained kind of part of the culture to recognize plants, but it goes to a certain extent to be able to understand like some of these really obscure native species that are nowhere else on the planet that are right there in their backyard is just so valuable. And then for them to be able to identify that and maybe later teach someone else, you know,
So the man who runs my waterfall tour, who works with me with my waterfall tours, he's been with me since 17. I only started a few years ago, but he's 48 now. But I remember way back in the day, I had ulcers, like in my 30s. He goes, no. Espera un momentito. And he'd run down in there, he'd get this tree, and he'd take some sap out of the white stuff, he'd put it in like a thing, and he'd drink this. Did you know in like a couple of months it was gone?
See, and that's the kind of thing that also we will lose unless we teach it and live it too, you know? And so like that's just a perfect example of the amount of plant medicines that are out there that are just as effective as a pharmaceutical, but we just don't know about it. Like, you know, we might have a plant right there in our backyard that can cure us, but instead we just run down to the pharmacy because that's what we know to do, you know? But what if there was a different way?
What an incredible program that was that you do. Definitely the only sad part is I seem to have already gone past the age limit to join there and learn a lot more about this. But I'll tell you what, one of the fascinating things that Jana has done for me by me being on here is getting to listen to people like you, Colleen, and of course the others, Josh and the others that have been on here, to where when I finally get to go to Costa Rica, I feel like I'm going to know a heck of a lot more than some of you. No, probably not. But the education I'm getting just from this is incredible. And I think you're right, Colleen. it's hard for people to care about something when they don't know about it, right? And if the program opens the eyes to all those younger individuals who will continue to take care of it and understand it, that's an incredible thing that's being done over there. I think that's really a program that I look, I love this kind of stuff. I know nothing about it, a lot about it, right? But it's still something that I think if there was something that allowed me to learn about that a lot younger, I may be doing the same kind of thing. And it's an incredible thing that you're doing, or what's offered. It's just incredible. I think that's definitely a way to make sure that as the generations move on, the next group is coming in to care and take care of it. It's incredible.
Thanks, Angel. Appreciate that.
No, you absolutely.
What I really was impressed with is, like, you know, all of a sudden the locals were doing tourism, and then, you know, there was that one organization, and then it's kind of gone, right? But and then where were we going to go from there? And then you guys stepped in and took it to a completely new level.
Thanks, Jana. And I mean, I think that, you know, the quality of the instructors that we have, you know, to have Reynaldo, and we had a mammal expert. We had Daniela that's the monkey expert, came. We think we had, like, we tried to find like whoever was the expert of that field to come and teach them. So it wasn't just about like having someone that was like, you know, had a general knowledge about the subject.
Right. We brought in
the big guns. We brought in the professionals to be able to teach them. Now, they're not always available for every class, of course, but be able to have access to them through, you know, through email, or to be able to call them and ask a question, or that they're in the group chats in the WhatsApp group that we make during the classes. And just to have those resources of these people that we have is incredible.
So, you know who Randall Arouse is? He was Pretoma. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
And he's, well, because of the connection that they have between the OSA on this swimway, this mountain range that goes, he wants to be more involved in OSA. And so I'm putting him out there because he had, and he'll be on again, but I think he might have something to offer this on the Marine side, maybe.
Great. I mean, we don't really have, we had someone that was, we had a captain come and just talk about sports fishing to them.
Right.
Because that's an incredible career for anyone who's interested in that. They can become mates, you know, right there. And then there's all kinds of like Josh to be able to do the tours on the water. I mean, that is a career right there, you know, and you don't have to go, like you said, you don't have to go to San Jose. There's this like idea that, you know, like that sometimes happens that they don't feel like there's anything there for them. And they're like looking forward to getting to the city to be able to, I don't know what, but then so many of them end up coming back because they were like, ooh, that wasn't so great, you know?
Yeah, the city's not that great, is it?
But if you were to give them the tools that they could have a career after they're done with high school right there in OSA, I mean, that's just like this incredible boost that we can offer to some of those local students, you know?
I will have to say about Josh's tours, gosh, he's so knowledgeable about the history of the OSA Peninsula.
Yeah,
The Gulf of Dulce was discovered, and
we went with one of his proteges on Saturday. I just went out with some of my girlfriends and the kids to do the bioluminescence, and we saw, you know, like this huge pot of spotted dolphins and everything. And so Brandon, his name was, and he also was so knowledgeable, and he was trained by Josh.
Yes.
And like, you know, Josh brought him up, and his dad is also a captain. Uh-huh. And just like you could see, like, he was also passionate about it. So that was really cool to see, like, how Josh had inspired him and like passed that on to another captain that's now, you know, he's working for Josh, but he's also working on other boats, and I bet he'll have his own boat in no time, you know.
Oh yeah, no time.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask both of you something. You know, the interest by these younger individuals to do what they do, is this something that starts to get ingrained in the people of the OSA or around that area, so they start taking interest in this? Is it something that the families push, or is this something that how do those young individuals start to really care about that? Is it a pride that they have for their country? What is it? How do you get them started in that?
Jana, you want to go first there?
Well, I'll say this, that 33 years ago when I was there, these kids that get up, that there was no real tour. There was nothing. There was no tourism. There were no tourism jobs. There was not very much tourism unless it was the big lodges, correct, Colleen? And then, these kids would get out of school and they would go to the city. They would just go away. But nobody wanted to go away. They had no way to make a living there. In the early years, they were cutting trees illegally. They were, I mean, people were actually having to kill the animals to eat because they were hungry. There was no industry really, right? And so... Well,
yeah, I mean, I would call it a brain drain, right? Right? That anybody who was like clever and like felt like they could run a business or something, they wanted to go somewhere where there was more commerce, where there was more
nothing here. There was nothing there.
So there needed to be like this, like, hello, you can do this. You can do it right here. And like, this is how you do it. Like, so for example, I did an English course with high school kids. We had like 25 kids. It was with Salal. I don't know if you know that program. It's with Stanford University.
Yes, I do know that program.
They do it with, so I taught the English part, but you know what we did for the whole week that we were doing it? We did, all right, let's make you a tour company. And we're gonna make the itinerary. You're gonna make yourself a logo. And we're gonna go from airport to airport of what you would do for your 7 days on the OSA. And then we just did that in English. And that was like, that was the course. And I think like, then they were like, oh, you know what? I could actually do that. You know, it's like, yeah, you could, like, you can just like take that and go. And then you could work that tour if you wanted to, you know, you need to have that. It takes a certain charisma. And like, maybe you can't have like parents who are like, really like, against that kind of lifestyle. But if you have some like open-minded that they're like, yeah, you know, like, let's grow, let's figure this out, you know, like, there's a way the tree can have more value standing right. than it does on Thank the ground
right? yes
and so in that was like, it needed to change. There was a major, like, you know, paradigm shift in that we need to exploit the land, we need to work in the palm, we need to hunt, we need to cut this precious hardwood.
Which is illegal, but hunting is illegal.
I know, but you know.
But that's their culture.
Right. So then like, there was like, wait a second, like, don't kill that guy. Don't kill those chunches de monte. I need those for my tour that's coming next week.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I really like that you've really taken it to the next, because I saw that the adults, a lot of adults who owned land were doing the tourism there.
Yeah.
But then the kids needed to know how.
The hunters, they're great at tracking, which is very useful for
yes.
being a tour guide.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have a purpose other than.
But it changed, right? It changed of like, what is the goal now? The goal is actually to preserve it, because we can make more money over and over doing
exactly.
that. And we just do it in a one-time thing where we like gain money, like maybe a bunch at the moment, but then we won't have anything in a few weeks or in
exactly.
a few months, right? So it's much more sustainable all around.
So, you're teaching all these kids. These are the classes that you're teaching these kids.
Yeah. I mean, the we call them like guide training courses, you know, I mean, that's really what they are down to the core, that like, you know, we go over, we do like the five vertebrate animal groups and we cover each one. And then we have like maybe four or five different lessons that are on plants. Cause that takes a little bit more, because people don't have so much of a base for identifying plants as the animals. So, and then, you know, you go from there, then you can just, every one of those topics can go from kindergarten. We can talk about birds. What birds do you know? You know, and then we can go to, you know, what are their names in English? What are their names in Spanish? And you can just do that from really young ages. And then you can get into, what is the scientific name of this bird? What are its, you know, what are its features? Where is it found? And then how to use the guidebooks and the field books. And it's just like, then you can get into doing your own research if they even wanted to. We haven't really gotten to that point, but we are trying to start this. I'm starting this new project with Reynaldo where we're doing successional plots in a new property that was just, we just took out all of an old cacao plantation, which was a failed plantation. It had this virus called frosty
yes.
pod rot.
I know
that's all over the peninsula, you know.
Know.
And so if you leave the cacao, the forest can never recover because it has such a dense canopy cover and nothing grows underneath of it. So you might from someone that doesn't know the forest, they'll look at it like, oh, look at this beautiful forest. Look at all, it has all of these trees and the canopy cover, but it's not, it's just as ecologically poor as a rice field or as a cow pasture, because all it is this really low value tree that's not doing anything for the ecosystem and not allowing the forest to come back.
Right.
So we're doing this study on removing the cacao and then doing different research on what is your best approach for reforestation in a plot this size. And then it's going to become like the citizen science project where students can come and do measurements and that, and even like, you know, tourists could come and do measurements and things. And this is like our next, this is like taking this project to the next level where they're going to be actually doing research.
So take doing these things, what type of backing do you all have or interest from others to help with like with something like that? Is it something that it's a small group that's trying to make this larger, or is it a larger group effort once you come up with an idea of something to work or something that's going to allow for something like this to take place?
Yeah, let me tell you the players that we have right now. And then the idea is obviously for it to grow.
Sure.
So Oxygen for Life has been our main partners for, they've been in the peninsula for 40 years.
I know.
They're neighbors of Jana's. They have the big property across the way. They've always been interested in environmental education. That's been their environmental education and conservation has always been, you know, their mission. So they have, that's who did this, the academia, the Biological Academy. And they've done, you know, they've brought students, they would do these tours with inner city kids from Boston and completely paid, bring them to the OSA and like blow their minds. And then, you know, come, I mean, they really changed these kids' lives and perspectives by that, like those kind of visits. So they did those kind of jobs and then with other student groups and then with the local students as well. So O2 for Life. And then I work with another foundation called One Forest Foundation, which is environmental education. And then we work with another foundation that's called Flying Horse Foundation that's based in Colorado. And they do equine therapy, equine assisted learning.
Oh, yes. I love this part because I love horses.
Me too. And so like it's kind of like, all right, we're going to bring our connection to nature through horses. But then it also brings in, we like learn about, you know, you learn about the horses, but then around the horses, you learn about the environment. And it's like this moment outside of connection that we kind of integrate. It's really cool. We're like integrating like the learning about our ecosystems and spending time with horses. So I think that that's like a really cool, beautiful vision. And we do that. So they provide free classes on Sundays to local kids right now. They started actually just in January. And then we made that into an environmental club afterward that we do some of these other classes. So those are littler kids. They're ages 7 to 11. And then that's on the weekends. And then we have, you know, the other things going on with the high school students. So those three are our players. But the idea is that we hope, like the dream, is that we have a classroom space, which we don't have right now, that could be kind of used by all the nonprofits, NGOs that have similar visions in the area so that they would be able to use, like, you know, we'd sign up, be like, all right, I need it for Sunday for the equine assisted learning group. And then you can sign up for it on Tuesday and do your English classes. And you could do it on, you know, like everybody, they could have like, you know, training for employees of a hotel. Like we could bring Reynaldo in order to do plant identification for different hotels that are around, all kinds. There's so much potential, but that's the dream. So we would want to.
I want to tell you this right now.
All of the NGOs around.
If there's anything I can do on my property, I can sleep 13 people on the inside. It's yours for free. Anything I can do to help with your project, anything I can do to help on my property in Mogo, since Oxygen for Life has been there longer than me. And I've only been there 33 years. They've been there 40. You know, the signs, when I come into Mogo's, every time I see it on the left.
I know. They need to replace that sign. It's terrible.
It's been there as long as I've been there.
Well, ugly. I know. I'm like, why do you guys have that same sign? Anyway, so we do. There's one. The level two course is field trips, you know, so that they are actually in the field. So they do two nights at the O2 for Life property, but then they could just head on over to yours after that.
Yeah, and then we can take them to the waterfall.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing.
We could do, I've got 7 horses, so we could take kids to the waterfall.
And then maybe we could bring the flying horse group there too. Because
yes, all of it. You can bring all of it there. Yes, please use my place for that.
Thank you. No, appreciate that. Please.
Anything.
All right.
I'm yours.
Let's do it. I mean, it's all about connecting, right? I mean, nobody can do this alone. It's just we have to like, you know, build the community, and then everybody's got the same, you know, the same vision that they want the OSA to be okay. You know,
and
like that's what it comes down to.
And like, I don't know how we actually ended up in the narrowest part of the corridor, but somehow that's just where we ended up because we really liked it. And now I'm really, then afterwards, like, oh my gosh, we're the narrowest part of the corridor between Peter's Block, between Corcovado and Peter's, you know? It's, and there so we are.
It is so important. I mean, that is, you have a, it's like a funnel. It's like a bottleneck for the wildlife. And if that didn't exist, I mean, you know, the
jaguars wouldn't be able to go.
That's,
I mean,
right. Well, and
Nat,
you know,
Geo, way back, Nat Geo wrote an article about the jaguar corridors between Mexico, like South Texas and South America, and Corcovado Piedras in that area was on it. It was all part, I mean, of that article.
It's got to be one of the largest populations that are, yeah, around, you know. And we're trying to set up the Starlink. We're going to put Starlink kind of in the forest that we can still reach electricity to. And then we're getting new camera traps, we got some Blink cameras we're going to be putting out there so that we can get some more data of around our property too. But I mean, like, if you, do you have cameras? Camera traps?
We have 3 camera traps, but also I do not have Starlink, but I am off the grid and I'm on solar. And then my water comes from, so anyway, I'm the only thing I pay for is my phone, which is not expensive in Costa Rica, and my internet. But before I get back, because of the show, we're having Starlink at my house.
Because then you could get like live feeds of the wildlife cameras.
Yes.
You know?
Whoa. You, right? You might have to give me a little guidance.
All right. Well, I'm going to get out. We're getting our setup like probably
or a lot
week.
Of guidance.
when you get your setup, I've got the, yes. Cause these will do all that.
Right, and then you can just like pop on and be like, let's check the trails, and you can like go on and okay. Check them right where you are, you know. And
so I can connect mine to yours too if you want. We could probably do that.
Cool, that'd
okay.
be cool.
That'd be, and you know, you could do that all over. Say, I'm the ideal person. I never think right, but I'm always thinking it. You could connect those cameras all over the peninsula with people.
Right. I mean, what if you had a network of cameras? You're like, let's check on. Yeah, let's go to Mogos. Let's go to Piro. Let's go to, you know, and you check on all these different places.
But can you share that with the public?
I think that once you have the videos, then you could, I think you can put on a live stream of videos.
Because Arno Volcano, like 10 years ago, you could go and watch the volcano in live.
Right.
We should be able to do this. Can you imagine sharing that with the world?
That would be so cool.
I know. Okay. See, you don't want to be around small moments at a time.
Deanna's going to start it tomorrow.
No, but it's the plan. That would be cool to show the OSA on, and then how many people would come and help everybody who's doing tourism.
Hey, listen, I just got a front row seat to the brains at work. So I was just sitting here watching this. This was great. This was great.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
And yeah, we need to spend more time together, girl.
I mean, just like the potential of OSA and like, It's just unlimited, right?
It's
such an inspiring place to be too, that you're just like, okay, what can I do? What can I do better? How can we make this accessible to more people, but still protecting it, you know? And I think that's the goal.
Can we play your video again?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then we're going to go with Randall after that. And then I have some stuff to say about all of it.
Right. OSA Biological Academy is a school in the rural town of Puerto Jimenez in the OSA Peninsula of Costa Rica.
OSA Peninsula is a special place. It's a hotspot in terms of conservation, biodiversity. It hosts 2.5% of the world biodiversity. It is a place that deserves worldwide attention.
OSA es un lugar muy especial porque es una península. Es una de las partes más viejas del país geológicamente, más que es el puente entre los dos continentes, Sudamérica y Norteamérica, hace que es un lugar sumamente especial con respecto a la diversidad. En el 1991 llego a OSA la primera vez para colectar plantas y hasta hoy día sigo colectando plantas.
I would define conservation through education as a way of addressing the social side of conservation.
Esos cursos son como fundamentales para empezar a entender la biología de la OSA.
When you're taking the courses here, you're not learning from books or learning from pictures. You're learning from the species. You're handling the species, the plants, the insects, the frogs. This is how you get a proper training, and this is what will show a difference on your knowledge, I think.
The OSA Biological Academy offers 3 certificate programs from level 1 to level 3. The level 1 classes are in the classroom with presentations and around the OSA Interactive Gardens campus. Level 2 are field courses all over the OSA Peninsula, and level 3 are advanced courses that are a combination of field and lecture.
Como parte de la academia, hacemos giras de campo, ¿verdad? A la finca de la Fundación Oxígeno para la Vida, y también vamos a otro lugar que es Camino de Araque, que se llama Los Charcos de OSA. Yo ahí he generado una colección de árboles para que la gente pueda verlos.
By learning our local ecosystem, the ecotourism industry opens up for us.
Ellos saben que es un futuro muy interesante. Muchos de las personas ahora viven de ser guías en la OSA. Entonces han pasado de una cultura tal vez de cazadores o otros sacando oro, y ahora viene una posibilidad de aprender.
Before ecotourism was established here, the main economical activities in the OSA Peninsula were highly impactful for the local ecosystem, such as gold mining, huge extensions of cattle, rice farms, and African palm oil. And none of the above are friendly for the ecosystem.
Ahora es mantener el bosque y usar el bosque diferente. Vamos a ir no a cazar, no a cortar árboles, vamos a ir a enseñar qué está. ¿Dónde están las especies? ¿Dónde están los árboles? ¿Dónde están los animales? Entonces, el turismo ha tenido un impacto social muy importante.
With giving more ecotourism education, the beneficiaries can be more of the local people.
The local communities are not receiving the best of the benefits from the ecotourism industry because of a simple education aspect.
Yo creo que el botánico del futuro es alguien que puede tener una hoja o parte de una hoja y sabe cómo se llama.
Our main asset right now is the environmental asset, and we have it. We are in the most diverse place, one of the most biodiverse places on this planet. So we need to learn what we have, and we need to learn the species, we need to learn to use it. We need to be able to jump in the ecotourism industry as soon as possible.
That's beautiful. So I want to say a few things. I can't believe this show. Colleen, you have to come on again.
I could talk about this for days, Jana.
I can't. And I want to give a little shout out to Randall Rouse from CREMA. My bucket list. I'm a diver. And, you know, I worked a lot with ocean conservation with him for 2010 to 2014. He was the guy, president speaking, go talk. You know, he really works on ocean conservation. And, but I came from an agriculture science degree from Texas A&M with a minor in journalism. And so it ended up being, and I grew up on my dad was a PhD in soil conservation. And so I kind of grew up in that nature on a ranch. And so now I'm on a ranch in Costa Rica. It reminds me of being my childhood, but I want to be part of all of it. I think my place in it, because to be a platform through LA Talk Radio, and we're going to be doing some interviews around OSA for OSA Tourism to put on my Jungle Jana page there, radio page there. So, but also on my own ranch, I'm doing it. And I want to offer that to anything that you want to do there. Okay, I'm so enamored with everything you're doing. And gosh, thank you.
And we'll definitely take you up on that. Thank you.
And, I mean, yes. And so let's talk a little bit. I don't know how many more minutes we have. I think like 5-6 minutes left. So,
well, you know, I want to say something, Jana, because while watching that video again, my favorite part of the video were the two young ladies who showed so much excitement and awe, and that dragonfly that just kind of took off. And when you saw their faces, it seems like you got them hooked for life, right?
I mean, that slow mo is epic.
It's beautiful. So good. It is so good. And I would think that those types of interactions with what y'all have to offer out there has to be just inspiring to a lot of those kids. There's no doubt about it.
You know, just like Jana was saying, like when you're, you know, when you find a passion for something, when you're younger, you're like surrounded by, you know, those kind of environments that you, a lot of the times you end up coming back there when you're an adult, you know? So like really, maybe those kids are going to go and they're going to try to go to San Jose and they're going to maybe try to work in, you know, an office somewhere, but then they're going to be like,
never going to be happy.
You know, I
think been there, done that.
I'm going to go back to my roots. And like, that's why having those experiences when they're a kid can really change the trajectory of their life. And that is like just incredible.
I know. Unbelievable. So what, how can people reach you and how do people contact you and what can they do? This is super important.
Cool. Thank you. So can I give you my email address is my easiest way to get a hold of me, but O2 for Life has a website. You can go on there or also Flying Horse Foundation. Let me think. And our Facebook page for OSA Interactive Gardens. That's probably the best way because we're on Instagram and I post on there all the time and we're pretty active on Facebook. So that would probably be a really good one to get a hold of us and to learn more. And then, you know, soon we have night walk tours if people visiting and we're on OSA Tourism's website for that. So yeah, check out OSA Interactive Gardens.
OSA Interactive Gardens. And now you can download this video, show today. You can share it anywhere you want. And I want to have you back on again, but how do I help get, so it's children of OSA that are doing this?
Yes, right. It's for local kids.
What about the local kids in Mogos? Is there, I just call you
we've
up,
gone
right?
One time to Mogos because it's hard because, you know, it's the transportation issue, which is why, you know, like I love that we are directly in Puerto Jimenez because no one has a transportation problem because
right,
you
that's
know,
the
like,
perfect place.
Right. So like, you know, you see a lot of different organizations, but they don't have transportation to get there. So to have our hub be right in town is also just like a huge asset for us. And then like we do the field trips and stuff, but we've worked with the school in Mogos. We did on water day, we went and collected specimens in the river. And so we need to do more stuff like that to get out to some of the smaller schools and reach some of the other communities that that don't have as much access to resources. Right.
Because we do have kids in OSA. They leave home, they go to the city and they're never happy. And they just keep riding that bus home and they want to find something. And I have three employees, four altogether, what I use from OSA that are staying here now, you know, the older ones, but a couple of younger ones, and they're just amazing. And they're so happy to be able to do something in OSA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes we ask for sponsors for students because the biggest cost is transportation.
Right.
So like then, you know, when we have a student that's like coming from far, then like we will say we need someone to sponsor this student just to cover the transportation. And, you know, the courses are free, but it still can be limiting to them because they're far away. So I'll reach out to you as soon as we
reach out to happens. Me. You got my WhatsApp. Reach out to me and tell me what I can do. And yeah, I could probably sponsor some people that I can sponsor some kids from OSA that need to go do that.
All right.
Well, listen, I just want to say that, you know, every time I come on here with Jana, every person that I have had the pleasure of meet in this format has just been educational to me and a different eye-opening thing that each one of them do. And again, that's the same thing you provided for me today. I thank you. It was great. I learned a lot from just listening.
And him and his, I'm doing my show from his house
because
his internet
right
is stable. And we had a huge storm today and I got here and thank you, Angel. We do radio absolutely. In Texas together sometime when I'm in. It's just been a really busy trip this year, but I've been on Lamp Passes Radio and they're going to come to Costa Rica. Do not think that they're not. His wife.
I think that, yeah, you're hooked now.
He's totally hooked. I messed his world. No, I made his dream come true.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you,
I just
want
to thank you guys. Nice to meet you, Angel. Thanks, you, Jana. It's a pleasure. Like you said, I'm looking forward to collaborating more, and just like to have a platform like this is just incredible to be able to get this project out there and to be able to talk about it, because I could talk about it for days. So just really grateful. Thank you so much.
So you can go on LA Talk. I'll send you the link. You can go and you can download this Today Show. You can also download it in audio only. So you can do it in both. And I have to give you a great, as radio and television person, I have to give you great accolades for making that, the video that you played. You can understand. It's perfect, and I like that it's English and Spanish, and I also like that it can be on audio or video.
Awesome. Well, Ben made it, but
yeah, but he did right. He did it good.
He did great.
So, what do you want to say in closing? Once again,
I just want to say thank you for this platform. Okay. I mean, so incredible. Oh.
And one thing I have to say is, Lyndall Lucas, who wrote that song on his front porch 6 or 7 years ago when I wasn't doing radio, Jungle Jana on the radio. He's done a new version in a studio, and we'll probably have that on the next show. And I also want to get those wheels jumping. Well, like, you know, not the side part. So I got to get a hold of Chris and get that done by next show. So I don't know how much time we have left. How much time do we have left, Sam? I love talking to you. We're live radio. We can talk to Sam. Where are we? I have to put my glasses on and they're going to shine. Here we are.
He says it's time.
Is it time?
That's what he says.
It's time. Okay. Well, thank you, Colleen. And give Rainer a hug for me.
He's watching the game. That's why he wouldn't come. England and Argentina right now.
Of course.
So let me go find out what's going on.
That's a man
what's
thing.
The score?
I know. I'm like, I got to check.
You know, he's bilingual. Yeah, my guy here, Angel's one of my best friends. He's bilingual. So don't you love the way they did the video where both can?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I understood it all.
Okay. Well, we got to go because it was already time and I keep talking.
Bye, Colleen.
Colleen, we're going to do this again. Love you.
Bye, Jana.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Jungle Jana Radio with Jungle Jana and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.